Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Thomas Cook India Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akul Broachwala from IIFL Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashashree. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on the 3Q FY23 earnings conference call of Thomas Cook India. I invite the company's senior management team who are here to discuss the results and business strategy. We'll begin the call with the opening remarks by Mr. Madhavan Menon, Managing Director, followed by the management team, and thereafter we'll open up the call for a Q&A session. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Menon to take proceedings forward. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Akul. Good morning. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just introduce the speakers around the table. I've got Mahesh Iyer, who is the Executive Director and CEO of Thomas Cook India Limited. I've got Vishal Suri, who is the MD of SOTC Limited. I've got Debashish Nandi, who is the Group CFO of the Thomas Cook India Group. Brijesh Modi, who is the CFO of Thomas Cook India Limited, and Abraham Allapat, who heads up marketing and other functions within the company. I think, you know, since this is a call relating to the Q3 FY23 performance of the Thomas Cook India Group, I'm pleased to report that we've had a third consecutive profitable quarter. Coming out of the pandemic, the bounce back or the recovery, as I would call it, has been a lot quicker than we anticipated originally. For the quarter ended December 31st, income from operations for the group grew year-on-year by 105% in Q3 FY23 to 153.63 million. The operational PBT was 584 million versus a loss of 289 million in the corresponding quarter a year ago. Even if you, the group continues to post, we've seen. Sorry, let me rephrase myself. We've seen a rebound across all our segments. If you look at the foreign exchange business, at income from operations grown 113% over the same period, corresponding period in the previous year. Travel has grown by 141% over the previous year. Leisure and hospitality and resorts grew by 8%. Digital imaging has grown by 57%. I'm also pleased to report that CRISIL has upgraded our rating from negative to stable, which is an important, I mean, an important reflection of the fact that the ratings agency now sees us fully back from the earlier situation that we faced on. I just want to mention in terms of recovery from the pre-pandemic, which is effectively 2019, the travel and related travel services has recovered 83%. If you look at foreign exchange, it is 90%. If you look at leisure, hospitality and resorts, which is essentially Sterling Holiday Resorts, 137%, and digital imaging solutions, DEI, 144%. I'm sorry, I need to apologize. I did not introduce Vikram Lalwani, the MD of Sterling Holiday Resorts, who is on this call. I believe Mr. Ramakrishnan, Managing Director of DEI, is also on this call. At this stage, I will hand over to Mahesh, who will take this forward.
Thanks, Madhavan. Good afternoon, everyone. I'll try and quickly give you a brief update on the highlights for the current quarter and also for the nine-month performance. Quickly to focus on the standalone. At a standalone level, the profit before tax before MTM, and I'm qualifying before MTM because that's an investment loss and I want to take that off. The operating PBT grew by 46% from 15 crores in the previous quarter to 22 crore. So that's a sequential gain of about 7 crores in the current quarter and swung to a profitability of 22 crores from a loss of 18 crore compared to a year ago. So I think from a performance point of view, this has been one of the strongest quarter, as Madhavan said, three consecutive quarters of profitability, but this has been one of the strongest recovery that we have seen in the current quarter. On a consolidated basis, Madhavan already mentioned about the 58 crore number. This 58 crore PBT as it stands is against a 1 crore profit that we had in the previous quarter. So again, a gain of about 57 crores on a sequential basis and compares to a loss of 29 crore on a year-on-year basis. So clearly, the recovery across all lines of businesses has been very, very strong. I'll focus on the two important segments for the business, which is travel as well as foreign exchange. And when I focus on travel, I will speak to you all about the India businesses and then hand over to Debashish, who will talk to you all about the international businesses. To begin with, foreign exchange, as Madhavan mentioned in his opening remark, we saw a 90% recovery on the foreign exchange business in the current quarter, and for the full year also, we are at about 91% recovery. So clearly from bouncing back point of view, the business is already back in action, and I would think that for the full year, FY23, the business should be closer to 100 or maybe 110% to the pre-pandemic level. So that's our expectation for the full year as far as the foreign exchange business is concerned. Some of the key highlights for the business in the current quarter has been the retail recovery has been very, very strong. It's come back to 107% of the pre-pandemic level. In the retail segment, again, education segment has actually grown phenomenally. The current quarter registered 128% recovery to the pre-pandemic level. The digital initiatives that we are driving for the business continue. We are at about 11% penetration in terms of our digital adoption, which essentially means that all transactions that we undertake on the retail side, 11% of that is actually happening online. The other important element that I want to mention here is about the FX partners that we have onboarded during the pandemic. We have about 1,500 plus FX made partners that we have onboarded during the period, and this actually contributes about 9% of our overall retail business. So close to about 20% of our overall retail business currently comes from digital channel, and that kind of gives us a lot of leverage in terms of cost as well as productivity. Also important to mention that from a QOQ point of view or a sequential growth point of view, revenue from operations for the foreign exchange business grew 10%, and when I compare it to a year before, that grew about 110%. So clearly, from a recovery point of view to a year ago, it's a phenomenal growth, and also from a sequential quarter point of view, it grew about 10%. From an EBIT point of view, if I compare it to a year ago, the recovery has been close to 4.5 times, that's 450%. And when I compare to the quarter before, which is the sequential quarter, we are seeing about a marginal dip, and that's largely because we have invested in digital initiatives and marketing initiatives, which is what we are driving on our digital side. So clearly, from a recovery and a growth point of view, foreign exchange business is back. And we expect full normalcy or normal return to profitability for the business for the full year of FY23. Speaking about the card loads on the FX business, I think again a very substantial quarter. The total volumes of card loads in the current quarter stood at 143 million. It is also heartening to note that the total number of new card issuance in the current quarter is 72% higher than what it was a year ago. So clearly from an acquisition point of view, we are bringing in new customers, and as I've mentioned before, the card has a validity of 5 years. So this 72% growth in terms of addition of new customers bring customers to us for a 5-year period. From a market standing point of view, our market share has inched slightly higher, and there is a benchmark that we do to the data that's published by the Reserve Bank of India. We are roughly about 1.8% a year ago. We are now at close to about 2.1%. So we are trying to benchmark ourselves to some kind of a market share data, and we see that shift that's happening in our favor. And this shift is largely currently happening on the education sector, and as the travel and tourism sector also opens up fully, we will start monitoring that and report that back to you all. Coming to the holiday side of the business, as Madhavan mentioned, overall the India holiday business has seen an 83% recovery over the pre-pandemic level. Specifically, India business is at 91% to the pre-pandemic level in terms of recovery. The key segmental performances in this has been from a corporate travel point of view, where the recovery in the current quarter has been 106% to the pre-pandemic level. Key reason for this has been the growth in turnover, and that's been led by some of the new acquisitions that we had done in the previous quarter, which have all started trading, and the benefit of that is visible. Some of the accounts that we acquired about 13 new accounts across banking and insurance, IT infrastructure, and those have started to trade, and that volume is adding to the profitability in the current quarter also. From a technology adoption point of view, 60% of our overall customers are currently adopting the digital means of interacting with us or dealing with us, and that's kind of giving us the benefit in terms of cost and productivity. The other part of the business, which is MICE, I'm covering the B2B part of the holiday business first. The other part of the business, which is MICE, had a phenomenal recovery in the current quarter. As you would know, in the previous quarter, it was trailing at about 87% recovery to the pre-pandemic level. But in the current quarter, the recovery is at 108% to the pre-pandemic levels. Now, the key contributor here is as we have informed, we backed some government businesses. We did the Khelo India last year. We backed the G20 account. We are currently also managing the Khelo India that's happening at Madhya Pradesh. So some of the government businesses that has come our way, international travel has opened up and a lot more corporates are now having confidence to travel with us. We also managed a lot of delegates coming into India for various events, and that has all added to the volume growth that we have seen on the MICE business. Coming to the holiday business, and there are two parts to it, which is domestic as well as international holiday. As you will know, we mentioned that our expectation in the current quarter is that we'll come close to about 90% recovery on the domestic side. I'm happy to report that we are at about 89% recovery to the pre-pandemic level in the current quarter, and our expectation for the full year, or the last quarter, is about 128%. So clearly, from a domestic recovery point of view, volumes are coming back, and the impetus from the government in terms of various initiatives that have been announced in the budget, specifically for the domestic tourism, is also going to help us grow volumes on this segment. Coming to the international side of the business, it's been one of the best quarters that we've seen from a recovery point of view. From about 45% recovery in Q2 of FY2023, the current quarter has a 60% recovery to the pre-pandemic level in Q3 of FY2023. The improvement that we have seen is across multiple segments. We have also seen the demographics of our customer change. They have actually fallen down by about 10 years. We have attracted a lot of Gen Z customers. We've also launched our European holiday bookings, and we've seen some very encouraging signs coming from our customers. Forward booking is looking very healthy. Also to mention here that both in terms of MICE as well as the holiday business, our pipeline for the next year has already started to build up, and we remain a lot more optimistic about the outcome for the full year of FY24. Dimashish, on that note, I'll hand it over to you for the DMS.
Okay. Thank you, Mahesh. I'll quickly take a few minutes to talk about the operations of the inbound business, and that which is there in India, and the DM equivalent DMS business which is there overseas. So the inbound business in India, which is conducted under Travel Corporation of India, revived the operation after a gap of about 2 years or more than 2 years. So this was the first quarter of operation after COVID. It did a smart recovery. The recovery was against the FY20 level. The recovery is about 40%. They did about sales of about 80 crores. And this is just the first quarter. The second quarter, which is the current quarter, Jan-March quarter, is expected to be even better. On the overseas DMS units, the DMS units, almost all of them have turned profitable, and the profitability trend continues. The one unit which was trailing behind was Asian Trails, which is headquartered in Bangkok and operates across about 9 countries in Southeast Asia. Restarted the operations sometime in July, and this was the second quarter, and they have been doing well. So to give a bit of flavor of numbers, their quarter-on-quarter growth is about 25%, and the recovery, and they're actually fully recovered. If you look at the overall DMS numbers, they're actually fully recovered in terms of sales against the 2019. So they're at overall level, they're back to 100% recovery, although certain components of the business are still trailing. If I delve down a little more into unit by unit, as I said, TCI, first quarter business, and therefore, it's shown a 40% recovery against pre-COVID, but more to come in the next quarter. On Desert Adventures, it is Desert Adventures, which is based out of Dubai or the UAE, is the peak season, so the volumes are much higher than what we have seen in the past. Largely, the volumes are coming out of CIS, Latin America countries, and India. They are focusing more on the European market in the current quarter and are looking forward to expanding the footprint across the Middle East. In case of East Africa, the Kenya, this was off-peak season. The peak season, of course, is July-August, but this is off-peak season. In spite of that, the volumes tend to be very decent. They have had a record year as a calendar year is concerned. With business coming in from Europe, with, largely UK, Germany, France, as well as from the US. And there has been, in the last couple of months, there has been a good number of customers coming in from India. The other unit that we have in Africa, which is Southern Africa, turned profitable in the last month, which is this last month of the quarter, which is in December, and we look forward to better performances from that unit in the quarters ahead. Horizon or LIC Pro, which is a unit in USA, this is a low season for US, being winter. But even then, they have been doing, this year has been one of the best ever for them. They turned profitable in this year. And they are preparing ahead for the summer season, which will come start sometime in May, June. Coming back to Asian Trails, some of the units of Asian Trails, as I said, they operate across about 9 different geographies in Southeast Asia and Australia. Some of the units like Thailand and Vietnam and Indonesia have started performing really well with the COVID restrictions gone. And a lot of tourists flocking to those markets. They have also launched their online sales. This is the first time they have ventured into that. And the sales from the online business is quite significant. I will spend a minute on our on EBIT margins. If you look at the overall EBIT margins and if you look at the segment results at a group level, while we will not spend time on individual segments. But at a group level, there has been a substantial improvement in the EBIT margin. The EBIT margin is now, for the quarter, is about 5.8%. And if I compare that to the FY20 EBIT margin, that is about 2.9%. So it's a substantial increase. For the 9 months, for FY23, the EBIT margin is about 4.4%. So this is largely possible for the reasons that Mahesh and Madhavan talked about, which is on growth of revenue and also on containment of cost. And we expect this to continue in future. I will now hand over to Vikram Lalwani from Sterling, to give you an update.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I trust I'm audible, so I'll continue. My name is Vikram Lalwani, and I represent Sterling Holiday Resorts Limited as its Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer. I'm also joined by Mr. L. Krishnakumar, who is the Chief Financial Officer at Sterling Holiday Resorts Limited. It's a privilege to interact with all of you again this afternoon. In this session, we shall present a snapshot of our performance that has impacted Q3 FY23, as well as touch upon the YTD 9 months ending FY23. The company had a turnover of INR 1044 million for the quarter ending 31st December 2022. I'm happy to inform all of you that this is the highest income the company has achieved when compared to any quarters of the previous years. On a YTD basis as well, the company has surpassed the performance of the full financial year of any previous years, and we've done so in 9 months. Our EBITDA continues to be healthy at about 33%. Which is 343 million INR in Q3 FY23, as well as it remains at 33% for the 9 months ending FY23, which is at 908 million. The company's PBT is at a healthy level 197 million for quarter 3 FY23 and 515 million on a YTD basis, thus recording a growth of 60% on a YTD basis, year-on-year basis. And a breakthrough turnaround from the pre-pandemic levels to where we are currently today. Q3 FY22 also included a one-time net cancellation income of 77 million. The company also recorded significant increases in the operating free cash flows for Q3 FY23, which stood at 335 INR million. And for the 9 months ending FY23, it stands at 799 INR million. This is a phenomenal growth, 91% growth on a YOY basis and over 110% growth even over a pre-pandemic level of FY20. This result reflects the growing strength of the Sterling brand and is a testament in our commitment to grow the company as a leading leisure hospitality brand in India, delivered through the resilience and dedication of the entire team at Sterling. This also reaffirms our strategy to, number one, continue to scale our resort business. Its key business drivers are on the green and continue to scale them, and also expand our brand presence across key destinations in India using an asset-light approach. Number two is continue to drive efficiencies in our membership business, thus increasing cash and profitability. The key business factors that impacted Q3 FY23 are as follows. Our volumes remain steady at 62%. We've had a healthy average room rate growth of 18% over the same period last year. We were at 5,654 INR in Q3 FY22. It's gone up to 6,688 in Q3 FY23, while also surpassing the pre-pandemic levels by 47%. We've improved our food and beverage revenues in our resorts by about 18% over the same period last year. Last year, we had recorded or generated 170 million in food and beverage revenues in our resorts versus 200 million in Q3 FY23. This also is a growth of almost 43% over the same period in the pre-pandemic level. We've recorded a growth in the guests, that is a non-member occupancy and rates, from 46% in Q3 FY20 to almost 64% in Q3 FY23. In the membership business, the focus continued on driving profitable sales. How? One, with the continuous growth in a variable model of membership sales. To that effect, our on-site sales at the resorts have crossed over 60% in Q3 FY23, up from 39% last year in Q3 FY22, thus reducing the overall fixed cost year-on-year basis in this business. Number two, we had an increased average unit realization of sales of each of these membership units by about 5%. It was at 2.8 lakhs in Q3 FY22 to 2.9 lakhs in Q3 FY23. Higher down payments of 47% in Q3 FY23 having a direct correlation to increasing operation free cash flow, which was at 42% in Q3 FY22. In fact, this has also crossed 50% as on December 2022, and it shall continue to grow into the months in Q4 FY23. Hence, all our business drivers are on the green and on an upward trajectory. In line with our strategy of expansion, we continue to expand on an asset-light model, and we are delighted to announce that we added two destinations in Q3 FY23, Penj in Madhya Pradesh with an upscale boutique wildlife resort, and Thiruvanmalai, which is a leading destination in spirituality in Tamil Nadu. This quarter in Q4 FY23, we shall open two more resorts, Haridwar in Uttarakhand, which apparently has opened just today, and Chail in Himachal by the month of March. our pipeline is robust for additions of new destinations, even into quarter one of FY24 and quarter two of FY24. Sterling Resorts continues to be rated very highly by its customers. 36 resorts are rated 4 out of a scale, 5-point scale on TripAdvisor, and 12 of our resorts are ranked number 1 in their respective destinations. Sterling has also been recognized and is receiving accolades and awards from the industry. In Q3, the company was awarded the Best Leisure Hospitality Brand, and Sterling Masuri was awarded the Best Leisure Resort in India at the 17th Hospitality India Annual International Trade Awards. Sterling Wayanad also won the Gold Circle Award from Agoda. Sterling Resorts is the only hospitality company to have launched a unique and a proprietary platform called Sterling One that enables channel partners in length and breadth of the country and employees from corporate clients access resort availability in real time, make reservations at pre-approved rates, at a click of a button, and fulfill the entire payment cycle within a span of a few minutes. This has helped the company expand its width and depth of distribution into tier 3 and tier 3 towns and across channels, and has favorably impacted revenues to a tune of even almost 18 crores since we launched it in Q1 FY23. We shall continue to evolve our brand presence in the marketplace through such scalable distribution initiatives even as we go forward in Q4 FY23 as well as in Q1 FY24. In Q4 FY23, the company shall also make its impact in leading hospitality trade shows across the country and internationally as well. Even into Q4 FY23, the company is confident of its business performance this quarter, led by revenues from the resorts, and we are looking at closing this financial year with historic path-breaking results when compared to any of the previous years that we've had so far. Thank you so much.
We still have one segment left, which is DEI. So I would now like to hand it over to Madhavan to talk about DEI and also with the closing comments.
Okay. As I mentioned earlier, DEI recorded its highest profitable quarter to date, as has Sterling. I think the important feature is that, as Devrishi said earlier, DEI saw a lot of activity in the UAE. Additionally, with the reopening of Southeast Asia and China, this activity is expected to increase further. They've entered Saudi Arabia as a new market where they've signed contracts for 4 parks, and they're expected to expand their presence there as well as in several other markets that they are present in. Additionally, they now have all attractions in Singapore, as they recently acquired Fly Singapore, which is the giant wheel that is located in Singapore. In terms of efficiencies, DEI has another important project that comes online in the middle of February. That is a tethered balloon, which is located in Dubai and is expected to open for commercial use around the middle of February. We expect that this will further improve the revenue streams of DEI and improve their profitability. We view the balloon as an adjacent segment that we do business in to tourism, and it attracts a lot of tourists, as well as providing imaging solutions for tourists who visit this location. The balloon is located at the Atlantis Dubai, and as you're aware, they've recently added a large number of rooms with the Royal Atlantis. So our expectation is that this particular project will do extremely well. Thank you.
You can go ahead with the Q&A now.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Nimish Maheshwari from RSPN Ventures. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
Nimish, we can hear you.
Yeah, so a couple of questions from my side. First is on what is the, you know, how the 20% TCS introduced in budget is affecting our business, you know, and how much it is exposed, our international business is exposed to this 20% category TCS. The other thing is finance cost increased by 68% YOY and 42% QOQ. So what is the split between Ind AS 116 and other finance costs, and what is this related to? And one more question is on other income side. Other income this time is 26 CR. But what does that comprise for? Thanks.
Nimish, I'll try and take the first question and leave it to the CFOs to answer to you on the other two questions. This is Mahesh here. As far as the announcement in the budget of the 20% TCS is concerned, yes, it is a dampener as far as the overall industry is concerned, and I'm sure you would have seen enough and more reports being published out there as to how it's going to pinch the pocket of the common man. Clearly, I think we believe that this needs a representation from the government, because the objective of this is completely different. When TCS was introduced on the holiday side, it was to bring a lot of people who were traveling abroad but were not filing return. It was to broaden the tax base. That, we believe, can be addressed by even a 1% charge, but a 5% was levied then, which we believe was reasonable enough. But the 20% is definitely not justified. And also what has happened is that in this entire announcement, it's been clubbed with outward remittances. The purpose of outward remittances is completely different. These are capital account transactions which are undertaken by large HNIs, where a 20% outflow on that, which can be claimed back separately, does not really make a difference. But to look through a holiday product through the same lens, we believe, is something where it has been probably not understood. It's also important to note here that when you look at a package product, close to 50% of the value is for services within India, which includes airfare, visas, and stuff like that. Whereas only the balance part of it is where the remittance happens outside for payments to hotels and excursions and stuff like that. So I think this is something that we will, as an industry and as a company, will be representing to the government, and we believe there is a good case for us to defend this.
How much business, our business is related to this category?
So, look, it impacts the entire outbound business. So if you look at the overall business that we do as Thomas Cook India as well as SOTC India, the two outbound travelers from India, close to 80% of our business is outbound, 20% is domestic. So the 80% of the business gets impacted as a result of this circular on TCS.
Okay, so 80% of this
keep in mind, Dinesh, here, that when the 5% charge came in, I think people are paying 5%, so there was no impact on it. But the 20% obviously is going to push the price up, and to that extent, we will expect some impact to happen. We have time till July of 2023, so summer definitely is not getting impacted, because people have already started booking for summers, and I think post this announcement, a lot of people will like to prepone their travel too. But having said that, I think we will have to make a representation to the government, and we will go that route.
Okay, got it. So this travel and related services segment is something which is 80%?
Nimish, you need to understand the travel related services that you see in the segmental results has got multiple segments there. One segment out of that is the outbound holiday side of it. There is corporate travel, there is B2B MICE, there is DMS also, which is the overseas travel businesses also. So there are multiple businesses there. So 80% of that universe is definitely not the universe that you should look for. I think on that universe, it will be roughly like maybe 20 or 25%.
20
or 20. Okay, got it. So around 25 to 30%, we can consider that.
20 to 25, I would put that way.
20 to 20% of that segment, yes. Not the overall. Of that, 20 to 25% of the travel segment.
Travel segment, okay, got it. Thanks.
So this is Devashish here to answer your second question, which is on interest and finance cost.
Yeah.
So out of the overall interest and finance cost of 278 million, there are three components to this. which is one is the pure interest cost, which is on bank overdrafts, working capital loans, demand loans, as well as on term loans, including ECLGS. This constitutes over 44% of the overall cost. The second part is what you call other finance charges, which is typically charges relating to credit cards, charges relating to cash management, charges relating to export and import of currency. Though that constitutes about 45%. And the balance 11% is really the interest on the lease liabilities. So we have a lot of properties, typically our shops, which are on rent, on lease rather, and in terms of Ind-AS 116, it is the interest on lease liabilities have to be provided shown separately as part of interest cost. I hope that answered the second question.
Yeah.
On the third part, which is on the breakup of the expansion of the other income of 260 million for the quarter. These are typically always termed as other income. These are most of the operational items, such as PLDDs and GPS which we receive from airlines and some similar incentives, which we can't consider directly income or operations for accounting purpose, but it is really operational income and not non-operational. There is also some amount of interest income that lies in that, on the various deposits or on the various deposits, etc., that we have. Does that answer your question?
But it is doubled from the last quarter. So is there any specific thing which came in this quarter?
So this is more depending on the volumes that we do. PLDD and GDS are linked to airline or air ticketing volumes, both on the leisure side as well as on the corporate ticketing side. And it runs across various units. As we have talked about, our overall volumes improved substantially in this quarter, which is very evident from the results. And consequently, you see an increase in these incomes.
Got it. Thank you.
The way PLDD operates is that there are slabs which operate. So the higher, the higher, more number of tickets you can sell, the higher you go up the slab. So there will be some bit of slab movement also across airlines. So maybe, for example, we are accruing at 1% earlier. Now in some cases, for some airlines, we might have moved to about 1.5 or 2%. So that would explain the higher accruals.
Yeah. How we are looking for the outward expenditure by the overall industry for the foreign travel?
Sorry, I'm not sure we got that question right. Can you say that again, please?
Yeah, for the foreign travelers, how you are looking for the, how the industry is moving?
Okay, so Nimesh, I'll take that question again, Mahesh. So from our forward booking point of view, as I mentioned, we've launched our Europe or our summer packages, and the response from the market has been very, very strong. The current booking trends indicate a recovery which is ahead of the pre-pandemic levels at this point in time. So the comparison is that if I have to look about 2019 and if I had launched the summer packages, the kind of response that we had or the booking pipeline that we had, on a comparative basis, we are about 20% higher than the pre-pandemic level. That's point number one. Point number two, I think there is a lot of easing of visa challenges that has happened, specifically on the European sector, where we initially were talking about challenges there. I think that has kind of tapered down a lot more. Third, from a supply side point of view, a lot more airlines are now operating into India, so that brings more supply. So I think what our expectation is that we are expecting a good summer to happen, we remain like quite optimistic for the summer of 2023.
Okay, thanks. That is from my side.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Mithun Aswath from Kiva Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and congrats on a good set of numbers. Very unfortunate of what happened in the budget. I just wanted to understand how would you fare in terms of a domestic operator vis-a-vis a global online travel portal? If I were to book a package there, would still the tax get, would I get impacted by that? Would all the travel portals operating have to take that into account? Is there a way of you trying to, you know, make the package into a piecemeal sort of thing where you have the flights and the other costs separate, as well as only the land package on which the TCS will be charged? Because, you know, a 20% would be quite significant for, you know, people who would be, you know, taking these tour packages to Europe or the US. And just wanted to get a sense on that.
Okay, Mithun, Madhavan Menon here. There are several questions within that question, so let me address them one by one. All the online travel agencies based in India are subject to the same rules as we are. So if you look at a Make My Trip or an Ease My Trip, they would face the same regulation. As far as booking on international booking platforms, yes, this is a loophole that exists. We have drawn the attention earlier to the government on this. We will once again draw the attention of the government to this matter. Now, as far as seeing a trend towards booking on these platforms, unfortunately, these platforms provide you components. They can sell you a hotel room, but you can't necessarily book a flight sitting in India on an international platform. That would still have to go through the local norms. So my expectation is that the government will recognize this, as mentioned earlier, that, you know, it's been clubbed by Mahesh, that it's been clubbed with the remittances, and our expectation is that the government will realize this and bring about some change in the new regulation that they brought about in the budget.
Right. The reason I asked you this is, you know, there was, I think, interview with the revenue secretary, and she did not mention it as an issue at all. So I was a little bit surprised on that, I think, a couple of days ago. Apart from this, I just wanted to understand, is there a way of, do you think, you know, as a sector, you can continue offering this and people would get adjusted to the 20% TCS? Or is there a way of you trying to reduce this for a potential traveler? I'm just trying to understand. Say this is passed. How would you work through this? I'm just trying to understand.
So, Mithun, I think purely from a governance point of view, we will have to abide by the laws of the land, and therefore that leaves us with little option to examine other routes which can be used but would be in violation of the law. So we will make every effort within our means to try and get this amended. We have also read this particular comment that came from the secretary. However, we along with other players in the industry are in the process of making a representation, and we hope to have some result out of it.
And this is applicable from July 1st, right?
Absolutely right, yeah. So we have some breathing space in terms of convincing the government to change it, and we are fairly confident that they will see some reason in what we're saying, regardless of what has been said in the press.
Right. So just one last question on in terms of what is the net cash on the balance sheet now?
The net cash on the balance sheet, when you say net cash, do you mean the net of debt?
That's right.
So the overall cash and bank balance is 10.58 billion. That's about 1,058 crores. And then if you take out the debt that is there across various businesses, term loans and working capital debt, it's about 290 crores.
Sorry?
Close to about 500 crores, the net of cash, the net debt.
Net cash of 500 crores.
Net cash, yes, net cash of 500
crores. And just one last one. We see a mark-to-market hit every quarter. I think this is because we are holding in Questcom. I just wanted to understand what is the value of that holding, and is there any potential sale or exit that you would make so that this line item doesn't appear every quarter?
Yeah, I'm happy you asked this question actually. So let me take 2 minutes to explain this. The shareholding that is appears as first shareholding is actually in an employee trust whose results are clubbed along with Thomas Cook. This trust is meant purely for giving benefit to the employees and does not benefit the operating company in any way. The trust holds about 12 lakh shares of Quess, which are meant to be given to employees. Now, as per accounting norms, these shares will have to be they undergo a mark to market at the end of every quarter, every month actually. And as you know, the share prices of Quess have been very volatile in recent months. It's at the end of September, it was something like about 645 rupees. At the end of December, it fell to about 411. So that's the volatility I've never seen in Quess shares before. And that, the differential multiplied by that 12 lakh share that the trust holds has resulted in this. Going forward, obviously, as and when these shares get distributed to the employees and the shareholding in the trust goes down, automatically these numbers, the volatility will start impacting less and less. But there is no other way to, in terms of accounting, there is no other way to represent this. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. So there's no timeline for this to happen?
This happens over the next couple of years. So there are some ESOPs which have been granted, which vest over a period of time, and therefore, this can be exercised only over a period of time. And over the next couple of years, this should get utilized. However, I'd like to reiterate one fact that this has nothing to do with the operational results.
Okay.
There will be ups and downs in this. As you know, the last quarter, there was a small positive on this that we enjoyed. But this has neither the gains nor the losses has anything to do with the actual operational PBT.
Would it be good for you to maybe make a release to the exchanges to this effect so that there is complete clarity that we've got nothing to do with your operational performance so that, people understand?
I think the very reason that you mentioned, if you see our press release, we have specified operational PBT. We have brought in that term called operational PBT, which we have never done before, just to make sure that people understand. And we have also, tried to explain what is operational PBT. We specifically exclude this item. So, yes, and we'll continue to do so in our interactions with investors, analysts, etc. We'll continue to re-emphasize this point.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. We have a question from Akul Brojwala from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. A question on, so you mentioned already that forward bookings are, ahead of what it was in pre-pandemic level. So we are seeing those kind of recovery happening. But I wanted to understand, in terms of costs, we have been emphasizing that, right now that our digital initiatives have, drastically improved since the time pandemic has happened. And so, since we're heading towards the summers, so what would be the, kind of cost advantages or, cost savings that one should expect, at least for next 2 quarters or so?
Thank you, Akul, for asking that question. Keeps us focused on that one. Just to let you know, as Debashish mentioned, he spoke about the EBIT margins. One of the reflection of the EBIT margins and the improvements in the EBIT margins is, one, increase in revenue, and number two is the management of costs. And we continue to see the benefits of the cost prudence that we brought about 2 years ago and our drive towards digital initiatives. We expect that to continue in the quarters to come, and our full year estimate is about 30% reduction over the 2019 base that we had, and we expect to hold on to that savings for years to come.
That's great. Besides that, like, you know, again, coming back to forward bookings, since last few quarters or last year specifically, you mentioned that short-haul travel was the trend during that time. So are we now kind of, you know, seeing that reversal towards more of long-haul travel, specifically in case of outbound?
Akul, it's beginning to happen. In the current quarter, if you look at it, while domestic was close to about 80%, it's the short haul that actually came at about 110% to the pre-pandemic level. And that really happens because, you know, if people are making their decisions at the last minute, difficult to get a long-term visa or maybe a US or a European visa, and then they make their choices for the short hauls. And again, there is easy accessibility and stuff like that. So that happened in the December quarter, but when I look forward to the forward bookings coming in the March and the June quarter, it's definitely the trend is towards long haul, and it's the long haul that's recovering much faster as compared to the short hauls. But again, as we said, we are a travel operator. We are here to give a good experience to the consumer. It's a choice he makes. We will put everything on the table for him to make a decision on.
Understood. Secondly, you know, on Sterling Holiday specifically, like overall, like we are seeing right now, you know, the kind of inflation that's there around, you know, across all these hotel companies. So, of course, like, you know, looking at the kind of occupancy rates that we are at, so there is enough headroom available yet. So I just wanted to get a sense as to, you know, how management is looking at Sterling Holiday specifically, and are there any specific strategic decisions that are yet to be made for Sterling specifically?
Let me take that, Vikram Lalwani here. While the overall business has significantly grown over last year as well as pre-pandemic, in fact, Sterling has had a turnaround when compared to pre-pandemic. We are currently at about 62% occupancy. There is headroom certainly increase this occupancy, at least towards 65 to 68%. Given the fact that we are in the leisure business and there are peaks and troughs even in every week of the month, we still have that headroom. That's point number one. Point number two, we will continue to maximize the overall yield as we've been doing so, both in terms of volume as well as the components in average rates. Number three is in terms of strategic direction, we will be focusing on the resort business. We had taken a big shift over the last couple of years towards the resort business, and the resort business is the one that's actually scaling, both in terms of its performance parameters as well as in terms of expansion into new destinations. As we speak, we are opening more hotels, so capacities will go up, and on an asset-like model. And to that extent, the resort business will be the key driver for Sterling. So I hope that answers that question.
Right, understood. And like as you mentioned, like, you know, resort business is something which is actually driving this kind of growth. So can one assume that, you know, the earlier business model wherein the membership based business model is something which rather would now stay in sideways, and it's more to do with overall how you scale up resort business? So that's the strategy going forward?
That's right. In fact, the membership business, the entire focus on the membership business is on efficiencies and profitability, which is why we have, in fact, brought about a business model change even within membership. Previously, membership sales were a high cost, fixed cost driven sale, and we've actually moved towards a more variabilized cost of sales in membership, number one. Number two, is the overall efficiencies in the membership business, whether it's to do with down payments or it's to do with the kind of yields that we have in our membership business. So that's been tightened up. Number three, the membership business will be used only as a filler or a competitive advantage, especially in times where we have distressed inventories, and we are able to fill up those distressed inventories with member bookings.
Understood. Thanks. That's really helpful.
And results.
Got it. Finally, on DEI, like, of course, like, you know, the overall, there's a good amount of revenue growth that's being witnessed, and obviously that, you know, this operating leverage, once it kicks in, it will help you in terms of adding good EBIT. Overall, you know, what's the potential that, you know, management is looking at for specifically for DEI?
Ram, you want to take this question?
Yeah, well, hi, gentlemen. My name is Ramakrishnan. I'm the CEO, and I run this business, and thank you very much for the question. I guess we see a huge potential in our growth in every market that we've entered. The only market that did not do well for us last year was China, and you all know China was closed. China has opened in a very big way, and our first month, we've already shown directions that we are doing way ahead of what we had planned. So the growth potential on the overall business is rapidly increasing at an average of 25%-30% year-on-year. And that is a non-stopper across as we see, unless there is any natural calamity. So I think we have an absolute tremendous opportunity on growth. We have signed up contracts, like Madhavan said. Saudi Arabia has a huge potential. Saudi Arabia has four times more resident potential than UAE. UAE is one of the largest markets for DEI. 40%, 45% of our revenue comes from there. And Saudi is not even open. Rather, we have not even started Saudi, and we're starting it this year. So we see tremendous and, I mean, fairly big year-on-year growth in the next 3 years on our souvenir imaging business. And also the ad point, we've got into the adjacent business of the attraction itself. After serving the attraction industry for over 15 years, fairly confident that we know what a good attraction should look like, and we are taking our first stab with our first balloon going live in another 2 weeks from now at the Atlantis, the farm in Dubai. Now, that's one among our 70 key partnerships around the world that has similar potential for balloons. Not that they want to put everywhere, but we have a huge opportunity of growing that business too. So overall, fingers crossed, we are on a very good wicket for growth.
Thank you, Rao.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
We have a question from the line of Nimish Maheshwari from RSPN Ventures. Please go ahead.
One last question from my side is, you know, is there any increase in debt during this quarter? Because, you know, the interest is increased from like 16 crore to 28 crores. So is it because of the interest on debt, or is it because of interest on other financial charges?
So, yeah. So there has been, Nimish, there has not been any debt, increase in debt during the quarter. What has happened is that we talked about the ECLGS loan, which is a long-term loan that came to us in the previous quarter. It actually, we took the disbursement in September. So the interest on the for that on the entire loan for the full 3 months or the full quarter has actually causing an increase in the interest cost.
Okay. So what is the amount of debt currently?
What's the total amount of debt?
Yeah.
498 crores.
98 crores on the
498 crores. Say 500 crores at a group level. The total debt is 500 crores.
Okay, around 500 crores, and the interest cost is around 12 to 13 crore for this quarter.
The overall interest cost, interest and finance cost is 27.8 crores, of which about 44% is the real interest cost. Yes, which is about 12 crores.
Okay. Is there any other increase in these financial charges, or is it same like last quarter?
The finance, as I said, there are three components of it. Okay. The second component, the first component is a pure interest cost. The second component is finance charges, which is dependent on the business volume. For example, credit card charges. These are credit cards swiped by customers when they buy online. So the more bookings we do online, the more credit card charges we pay. But I don't complain. I am not complaining, because that actually increases my revenue. And you know, my revenue, our revenues, our margins are fixed in a manner so that I you know, consider those charges.
Okay, not an issue. Thanks. Thank you. That was helpful.
Thank you. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in this investor conference. And let me just very quickly summarize that we are very conscious of the announcement that the budget made, and we will make every effort to ensure that this issue is resolved sooner than later. Secondly, we've seen the recovery. We expect this recovery to continue. It's not, you know, some people term it as a revenge effect and therefore short term. Our expectation is that this trend will continue for several quarters going ahead because of the diversity that we have. In fact, I must say that while an announcement of this kind is viewed very seriously, it is mitigated by the diversity that we have across our businesses. So we have foreign exchange. In the Indian businesses, you've got foreign exchange, you've got the corporate travel, you've got the meetings and incentives. That's the corporate side of our business.
Inbound and domestic.
We've got inbound as well as domestic. And if you look at the businesses that are offshore, you've got destination management businesses, DEI, and of course Sterling Resort, Sterling Holidays, which adds to this whole diversity. So, you know, while we are concerned, it is something that we have enough mitigation in place to overcome. And we expect that with all these businesses firing on all cylinders, it will not affect our earnings by too much, and we will be able to manage it. Thanking you again.
Thank you. On behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.